Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 81 of Jacques Talk, my friends. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, host of your show, joined by my boy Big Rig, Big Joe the Big Rig. What's up, dog? For episode number 81, we hope you're prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as we break down a lot of stuff going on with the Cowboys, some good and some bad, the free agent market, and a little talk that we'll see how much we can get through. I'll just leave y'all with that. 81, that's a tough number for me. Who comes to mind for you?
Man, I can't think of no Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, I'm going to go with Rocket Ismail then.
Rocket Ismail, yes, yes.
The Rocket.
Yeah, he was 81. You know, Rocket always 25 in my mind. But yes, he was 81 with the Cowboys. T.O. was 81, wasn't he?
Damn, T.O. going to be pissed.
Who cares?
Why don't I remember T.O. was 81? He going to be pissed because T.O. is going from my boy to my arch enemy back to my boy again. Good. Every time I see T.O., give me a bro man hug, say, what's up, dog?
Yeah, T.O. Okay. Yeah. You caught me off guard this time, but yeah, T.O. 81, Rocket Ismail. I was going to say Russ Francis, tight end, all-world tight end for New England in the 80s. That was the dude. I ain't never seen him do nothing, but Howard Cosell loved it. Russ Francis, all-world. He was all-pro, but I ain't see him catch too many balls, though. I don't know.
Well, I remember Russ because I grew up, obviously, most of y'all know, I grew up in Buffalo till I was 7 or 8, and I remember Russ Francis being a big part of the Patriots offense. Rest in peace, he died in kind of a freak airplane accident a few years ago.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't remember 76, Fred Smirlis. You remember him?
Dog, that was a week ago.
But I'm saying that was the Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, I remember Fred Smirnoff, but when I play this little game that somehow has become organically ours, I think of Dallas Cowboys. I don't really go outside.
Oh, I got you.
So normally it's whatever Dallas Cowboy come to mind.
Yeah, 81. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I can't remember. And I got old man brain now, so I can't, that's why T.O. didn't immediately pop up.
Yeah,
why Rayfield Wright didn't pop in my head the other day?
Yeah,
I got cussed.
Oh, we just got killed. We didn't say T.O.
So
yeah,
we said on that a little bit of housekeeping. What we need you to do, we ask, we humbly beg, if you can humbly beg, is go to YouTube channel right now. Take 2 seconds, go do it. Go to the Real Jacques Talk on YouTube. Subscribe, like, leave a comment. We appreciate it. I promise you. I was on the phone getting some things done today. We got some big stuff coming up on the channel, probably the 1st of May. We're working on it now. We should have it ready to roll out the 1st of May. So to make sure you are already taken care of, go subscribe, like, leave us a comment on The Real Jacques Talk right now. You can also follow us on IG at the same handle, The Real Jacques Talk. You can find me on Twitter. If you think you got my account, you don't. Seriously, it's a long story. I'll tell y'all about it one day. It got deleted. Very long story that I promise I'll tell you about one day. But I'm at JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. The book, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders and the Making of Men. You can find it wherever you find your books. Amazon, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I'm blessed. I had 3 people pick it up last week and send me pictures, text me about it. A couple of them have already started it. They rave about it. It's a good book because it takes you inside the locker room on the sideline where nobody gets to go. And it shows you why Deion got Colorado jumping. If you've been involved in an accident and it's not your fault, like some 18-wheeler ran you off the road and you sustained some injuries, there's been some medical malpractice with you, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, what you got to do is pick up the phone and call 972-934-8900. That's people, that's a greeting law. When they pick up the phone, literally, all you got to say is, hey, here's my circumstances. Here's my situation. What do you think? That's literally all you have to say. They'll take care of the rest. If they bring you on as a client, check this out. The consultation is free. The phone call is free. It costs you nothing. Zero, zip, zips, nada. You pick up the phone and give them your circumstances. If they bring you on as a client, big day for you. And here's why. They handle literally everything. You need a doctor, they'll set the appointment up for you. You need a specialist, they'll set that appointment up for you. Whatever you need done, they'll set it up for you. Why is that important? It's easy. They want you focused on healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, get your life back. That's really what they want you focused on. Get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. The way they do that is they handle everything. They tell you when to walk, when to run, when to crawl, when to turn left, when to turn right. Follow their directions, and then, yeah, hey, all you got to do is be a good listener. Greening Law takes care of everything. 972-934-8900 is the number. If somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, give them a call. And remember, real talk, the call don't cost you nothing. It's free. F-R-E-E. Give them a call. Dog, I am free agency has started. And already I'm sick of y'all. I don't say this often because I try to be sympathetic to your issues. At one level, I can be empathetic. But it's been a long time since I've been a Cowboys fan. Like, I stopped being a Cowboys fan in 1994. Why? Because I started covering them a little bit that spring, covering them full-time in 95. And to make a long story short, you cannot be a fan of the team that you cover. Okay? It doesn't work like that. I've been doing this almost 30 years, and a lot of y'all still haven't grasped that concept. It doesn't mean that you hate on the team, okay? What it means, dog, is what? I don't have an emotional investment in the team. They win, it's all good. They lose, it's all good. It doesn't matter to me, okay? Unlike who, dog? The Buckeyes. They win, I'm talking smack. I'm running around the house with Ohio State flag. Got some Ohio State draws on. They lose, I'm mad. They lose to Michigan 3 years in a row. I got double birds for everybody from Michigan. Why? I got an emotional investment in the Buckeyes. That, my friends, is the difference. So listen to me when I say this. I don't know if you included in this, dog, because I haven't received any text messages from you. I am tired of y'all overreacting to the first day of free agency. You know damn well the Cowboys are not spending no money on the first day of free agency. Check this out. Every year, every offseason, Philadelphia wins free agency in the NFC East. Or the Giants make a splash. Or Washington sign. It don't matter. You know why? Here's why. For the most part, Duck, the best players get re-signed by their teams. If your team does not want to re-sign you, and you become a free agent, something is typically, not all the time, but most of the time, something is wrong with you. Either your production ain't been good, either you're getting a little old, there's been a coaching change and you don't fit the scheme. Something is wrong with you because the best players get re-signed by their ball club. Would you agree with that statement, bro?
Oh, I was waiting on opportunity for me to push back because I do have an emotional investment in the Cowboys. I don't have no Cowboy draws per se, but I got a Cowboy everything else. But I don't.
Okay.
So Philadelphia, when you bring Philadelphia up, they do it right over there. They win the offseason and they win in the regular season. And Howie Roseman is pretty good, and that Saquon Barkley acquisition is pretty good. Because I heard it earlier compared to the McCaffrey acquisition, where McCaffrey was injured a lot as a Panther, and he's been relatively healthy as a 49er because his job is easier. I think his I don't think it's an overreaction when you're talking about what the Cowboys do. But I don't think, respectfully, I don't think it's an overreaction when other teams do stuff. Saquon Barkley added to Philadelphia is a big deal to me.
Okay. That is a fantastic point that you raised. It really is. I would not dispute the point that you raised at one level. Mm-hmm. At another level, I will say this. Every free agent situation is different. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm looking for something that I thought I had saved so I wouldn't have to look for it. And here it is. I don't know if I sent this to you. But I looked at 2022. Just 2 years ago. All right? 2 years ago. When I heard this same stuff for the most part. 7 of the highest paid free agents that year. 7 of the 11 in 2022 are no longer with the same team that signed them 2 years ago. I'm talking about guys like Teron Armstead. Y'all remember him? 5 years, $75 million to the Saints? Well, he's with the Dolphins. How about Von Miller? 6 years, $120 million to the Bills? Oh, he the pass rusher Buffalo needed. Oh, my God. What are they going to do? Buffalo to the Super Bowl. Yeah, he ain't done diddly.
Oh, he was good till he got hurt. He was good.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Well, the 6 years, you know he wasn't going to play 6 years there.
No, I'm only talking about the response, and he was going to deliver them a Super Bowl.
All right, He has not delivered them a Super Bowl. I'll wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah, at the moment, we're going to ask the bishops and the congregation to stand up.
All right.
J.C. Jackson, 5 years, $82.5 million. Damn.
Oh.
He going to be the dude for the Chargers now.
I lied.
He going to help Justin take it over the top.
I lied. I ain't going to wait. Okay. That dude was a buster. He ended up back right. in New York. That's an outlier right there.
He was
a straight-up asshole, though. It's a problem with him. But all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Chandler Jones, 3 years, 51. Oh, that's the pass rusher.
No.
Oh, he going to take it over the top.
No. Yeah.
He in the crazy house this year.
Yeah, that's another outlier, dog. That dude crazy. I mean, I'm sorry. He's mentally ill, though.
We got Carlton Davis. He's still with the Bucks. 3 years, $45 million.
Yeah.
Brandon Scherff. Oh, that's the offensive lineman. That's the guard that the Rams, that the Redskins need. I'm sorry, that the Commanders or the Washington Football Club, whatever we call them jokers this year. Oh, he going to help turn that offensive line around. Yeah. Oh, he with the Rams. 5 3 years, $45 million. Marcus Williams. He with the safety, with the Saints. 5 years, $70 million. Whoops. Oh, he's with your boys this year, the Ravens. Mm-hmm. All right. Allen Robinson. He with the Bears. What? 3 years, $46 million. Nope. He gone. Randy Gregory. Oh, my God. Dallas missed out on him. The Broncos signed him to the same money. 5 years, $75 million. Oh, Randy Gregory going to finally get his potential in Denver. He can play opposite. He ain't got to do everything. Oh, ain't he with San Francisco now?
Yeah, it was too much free weed, too.
Hey, man.
There's marijuana legal up there, man, and weed was Randy's problem. What'd you think he was going to do?
Hey, man, Devondre Campbell, linebacker, he's still with Green Bay, 5 years, $50 million. Lakin Tomlinson, remember? San Francisco.
The guard.
The guard. He going to help. Oh, they going to put him with McCaffrey. Oh, it's going to be all over. It's going to be great. Oh, his ass just signed with the Jets. Here's my point. We do this every year. We go crazy over who got signed on the first day of free agency, all this big money. And the issue is, most of the time, them cats don't make the difference we thought they were going to make. Occasionally, yes, it hits. But most of the best players in the National Football League, the best guys, the guys who really are the difference between winning and losing, they re-sign with their clubs. That's how it works.
Right.
That's how it's designed to work.
All right, can I?
Let me pass the hat to the congregation now.
All right, thank
this
you.
Is the love offering.
Yeah.
That's just for me. You don't have to put your tithes and offerings in that one.
Yeah.
And this other basket that's coming around, that's for your tithes and offerings.
All right.
Which bucket are you putting in?
Let me buy you a new Cadillac, sir. All right. Check this out. You can't chastise. Well, you can, I just don't think it's, yes, you can do whatever you want, but I don't think it's necessary because I'm a fan and I get excited by free agency, not even necessarily for my team, but it's just that people love, if you love this game enough to get excited about free agency, if you love this game enough to play fantasy football, if you love this game to play Madden or watch it, then you're going to get excited about free agency. I don't know. It's just a fun part. It's a fun part of this year.
Big Joe and the Big Rig disappeared for a minute.
Yeah, I'm here.
We'll see if he returns.
I'm here.
But what he's saying is, if you love your team, then you're emotionally invested in what your team does. If you love the Cowboys, then yes, you're emotionally invested in what.
Can you not hear me?
Washington does, and the Giants do. The Giants do. Philadelphia does. You're invested in all of that. And so until the chickens, as they say, come home to roost and the season starts and we see what the wins and losses, it's all about what you might do. And, what you might do, is in large part folks think it's got to do about free agency. And so I just, as it relates to your Dallas Cowboys, you know damn well what the Cowboys do and how they operate. The Cowboys re-signed their own guys. Dak Prescott. He going to be around $55, $60 million, somewhere in that ballpark. CeeDee Lamb. He going to be in the $28 to $30 million ballpark a year. Michael Parsons. He going to be in the $31 to $32 to $33 million ballpark a year. So, you got that situation. Hold up one second. We're having a little technical difficulty.
Testing.
So,
can you
got
hear me?
That situation. And then what happens is the Cowboys go off, pay their own guys, and build through the draft. That's why guys like Tony Pollard, they let go. Guys like Tyler Biadasz, they let go.
Testing.
Because they feel like they can replace those guys in the draft and there's no need to spend big money on them. And
they've testing,
been a
testing,
really good
one,
drafting
two.
Team, and so they're not going to spend big money in free agency. They're going to get parts like Jayron Kearse and your boy who signed with the
Justin,
oh, Justin. Good to have you back.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Well, yeah, I was watching you make my point, but kind of not make my point, but I got you. Hey, I don't know what happened.
Right.
I wiggled the cable and I came back. How about that?
Hey, well, I'm glad to have you back. So that's the whole deal.
That's why I was just saying that if you love this game and you know, if you love this game to do all of that, then yeah, fan, you that's part of football season and the off season is to get excited as hell about free agency. And I read everything I can about the moves and I go, that's a pretty good move right there. Oh, well, that's a bad move right there. So, you know, it's just one of them things where, most of the fans get it. You know, you want people to be excited about what you're serving up. If you cooking one of them good old recipes and it kind of smell good, you want people to go, damn, I never liked cauliflower with that before, but you know what? Jock said it's good. I got a doggone case of egg whites in my refrigerator right now from Sam's Club and what you said the other day.
Oh, okay.
So I'm excited about that, like I'm excited about damn free agency.
All right. I'm just saying that we see this happen every year. Here's my basic point. Every year, some team not named the Dallas Cowboys kicks ass and takes name in free agency. Let's just use the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. It could be Philadelphia. It could be somebody else in the NFC. Somebody is kicking butt, taking names, and what do we end up saying at the end of the year? Your Dallas Cowboys are 12-5. Your Dallas Cowboys are 12-5. Your Dallas Cowboys are 12-5. Yes, they have not had postseason success, but they're doing well in the regular season, and you must do well in the regular season. You must win big games in the regular season to get to the playoffs where you can lose big games.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's when people say, I guess, something better than nothing, which I hate that term.
Well, you know, I mean, they can go a lot of different ways.
Let's be the higher end of mediocrity. How about that?
Hey, I'm just
that
saying.
That still sucks. But I'm going to get excited about free agency.
You can get excited about free agency. Yeah. It's just not the end all be all. You know, that's just me. And the Cowboys are not a team that spends big money in free agency. They haven't done it in forever. And so I guess my whole issue is I just never get the fake outrage on, oh, it's the first day of free agency, the Cowboys have done nothing. Well, everybody's going shopping. They do this every year.
Well, that's why we end up not hitting the division, you know, what is it, divisional round? Well, that's why we don't, I mean, how did the Cowboys get a Super Bowl back in the day?
You can't compare back
splash,
in the day.
Splash. It's different, but they it's just kind of a coincidence, huh? I don't believe in coincidence, but it's the same thing that they're not trying to do nothing, and damn it, we don't get nowhere. 12-5, ass-whooping in the playoffs, ass-whooping in the playoffs, ass-whoop in the playoffs again. That's called it. Most being yet. Emotionally invested with no Cowboy draws. I don't have no draws. I got draws on.
Hey, clean it up. Clean it up, because the thought of it is hurting me.
Well, the best thing about podcasting is I got a t-shirt and some draws on. I don't have to get dressed to go to work. It's all good.
See, okay.
There you go. That's TMI a little bit.
No, a lot. But that's I opened the door and you ran right through that thing.
Love in your mouth is a lot. Wearing draws and podcasting is okay.
Well, the NFC East is up and
there
running.
There you go. Get us back on track.
The NFC East is up and running. Washington is Dan Quinn, took all the Cowboy defenders he can afford right now. He took Tyler Biadasz. The New York Giants have added Burns from Carolina, a legitimate pass rusher, to go with Kayvon.
I saw that. Hey, that's part of your point, though, about fans. Like, my overreaction was they added him and we don't have a left tackle.
Yeah.
Damn. So, you know, that's the good thing about free agency. But go ahead. I got you.
Nah. So, all I'm saying is relax when it comes to the NFC East. The Cowboys, for the most part, have been terrific at team and roster building.
Yeah.
Again, they fall short in the playoffs. We know that. But you must win big games to get to the playoffs. To lose big games, be humiliated. So, along the way, they figured out how to do it. Now, maybe one day they'll win big games in the regular season and do it in the playoffs again. But until then, I trust their process. Even though it don't look like nothing right now, they seem to understand how to put a good team together. And so, I will trust Will McClay as the architect and the rest of those boys to put a team together that's representative. And then when it's not, I'll be like, hey, they should listen to y'all. They should have grabbed a bunch of dudes in free agency.
I think the inability of Washington and New York to put together a team that's worth a damn helps the ability of the Cowboys to win some of them 12 games. But that's
okay,
just
that's
me.
That's a different conversation.
Yes,
but
sir.
I don't dispute that point.
Yes, sir.
You know, New England did that for a long time, but then they went to the playoffs and cashed in because the AFC East was trash for more than a decade.
Trash.
And they took them 6 wins every year and took some other teams and got to the playoffs based off that 6-0 division record.
Let me say this about Philadelphia. This is what I thought people was my Philadelphia fan friend was posting Saquon. I said, I don't want Philadelphia to get nothing else because they seem to know what they're doing. But the problem with them is, and what's going to make your point about free agency is, they got a new weapon, but they haven't handled the dysfunction of their team.
No.
And that's what blew them up last year. Not the talent, the dysfunction. So, yeah.
No.
I got
good
you.
On that. Let's shift. But Philadelphia's a good place to stay because the running back market, my friends, is not the running back market we thought we were going to have. But before I talk about that, let me just tell y'all this. I'm finna preach again. Get the organ ready, dog. I'm fired up today. So check this out. I'm going to cuss 1 or 2 times, too. All right?
You going to go the big cuss words or the little cuss words?
I think it could be somewhere in between.
Oh, hell.
I get sick of hearing all this BS. See, I avoided the cuss right there. from fans. Here I go again on fans.
Yep. You talking to talking, me too. You talking to talking, me too.
Well, I mean, if this shoe fits, wear it.
Yeah,
if this particular cap fits your head, pull the thing on. I get so sick of fans talking about loyalty and how come players make money and why I can't get a hometown discount and this guy's greedy because he wants this and that. Because I'm finna tell y'all what happened yesterday, okay? All the shit that happened yesterday. I think that's my only little cuss word. But here's the shit that went down yesterday, dog. Green Bay signs the running back from the Raiders. After they sign him, after they agree to terms, they say, hey, Aaron Jones, we'll holler at you.
Yeah.
This is after they asked Aaron Jones to take a pay cut last year, even though he was productive. Like, I understand the game when you're unproductive and they ask you to take a pay cut. I don't like it, but I understand it. He was productive. Had 1,100 yards and like 15 touchdowns, and they asked him to take a pay cut. And he took it because he knew the alternative. And then this year, they signed a younger version of him, make sure that they got that guy, and then kick him to the curb. Joe Mixon, same thing. Took a pay cut last year, had another 1,000-yard season.
Big
Cincinnati,
big
make big sure big. They get their running back. Yeah. Then they kick him to the curb. So don't give me no stuff about how players need to be loyal to team. I don't want to hear another 12-letter cuss word about it.
Man. That was clean and efficient. I appreciate that, man. But
I'm
don't.
I'm trying
that,
to be a better
that,
person.
That man. Hat don't. No, that hat don't fit on me. That shoe don't fit. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right. No, that's a perfect point, and that shoe don't fit. Thank you.
No worries. But here's my only issue with that, and this is the bigger picture. The NFL is a dirty game. Okay, it's just dirty, as Dez Bryant would say, dirty, dirty, dirty. That's what Dez Bryant would say. It's a dirty game. So if you understand it's a dirty game, then you play by the rules of a dirty game. That's why Zeke Elliott held out a year early, like, give me my money now. Because once I get a step slow, it's going to be holler at you. And so that's all I'm saying. Understand what it is, and if you do, you'll understand the moves the players make and why they make them. And that's all I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
The players act the way they act because the teams are dirty.
Yeah.
Now.
It's been like that a long time, too.
Doc, they've been like that forever.
Yeah.
I mean, and so the result is, but the money went up so much with the salary cap. Nobody expected it to go up to $252 million. Nobody. Unless maybe you were on the TV committee like Jerry and you could see where the revenue was going and you could predict it that way. And so what we thought was going to be a soft running back market, just because you got more money, now you got money to play with. And when you have money to play with, it's not even that complicated. Like when I saw DeAndre Swift get 3 years and $24 million from the Bears, I was like, he got $8 million a year? 14 guaranteed over the first 2 years, so he basically got $7 million a year. I was like, damn, that's a lot for him. He barely, I mean, he's okay.
Man, you got to pay him that to go to that team. That team terrible.
Well, what it did was it set the market.
Yeah,
like what happened is you go, okay, if DeAndre Swift is getting $8 million a year, I looked up his stats because I didn't know what they were. He had 1,049 yards. I said, oh. Tony Pollard had like 1,007. Tony Pollard finna get $8 million a year. What Tony Pollard get from Tennessee?
Three years, 24 million. Cowboys didn't want to pay that.
Cowboys were after Moss. Where did Moss end up? He ended up in Cincinnati, which is why they let Joe Mixon go.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were in conversations about Moss. The number reached 4.5, which is what he got from the Bengals. They're like, ah, we out, dog. So that tell you they didn't want to spend no money on a running back.
Right there.
You know, but Austin Eckler, I think he got $7 million a year to go from the Chargers to Washington. you know, but the running back game was crazy yesterday. Bottom line is King James. I mean, King Henry. Derrick Henry. He's with the Ravens. I haven't seen his money yet, but I know it's out there. Give me a second to look it up. But, you know, so the running back game has changed, and the Cowboys were not involved in it. And does that disappoint you?
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. We got to get who's going to run the ball?
Well, they finna draft a running back, bro.
Okay.
I mean, they are.
Yeah, but
I don't know who, but there's they nothing, finna draft a running
there's
back.
There's nothing better than signing a known quantity. There's nothing better than that. You can look at a guy and project him. You know, that's why you go first-round running back, second-round running back, maybe. That's why you can hit on a Pacheco like the Chiefs, a seventh-round guy. You know, do your scouting. Talk to somebody who knows something who pull this guy out the woodwork. That's the luck that you have when you're drafting somebody. So just because they pick a guy don't mean he gonna be good. It's just different than signing a free agent. Or even picking somebody up that nobody wants. At least you know what you're getting.
I mean, you think you do, but you don't.
What you mean? I mean, if you get Josh Jacobs, you know what you're getting. If you get Derrick Henry, you got a better idea of what you're getting before you draft somebody that ain't played at this level.
Here's my point. There are different levels of crapshoot. Derrick Henry, 2 years, $16 million, $8 million a year. You say, hey, you get Derrick Henry, you know what you get. Yeah, you do know what you get, unless what? Unless at 31 years old he falls off a cliff this year. Yeah, then you thought you were getting this guy.
I just said it's a more of a known quantity than somebody.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you agreeing with me? Or are you just
we're saying the same thing.
That's what
we're not
just
doing
saying.
The clearance, but what I'm saying is they all flawed. Whether you draft them, you get them in free agency, there is no 100% sure fire bet. So whatever approach you take, there's some risk. Some moves have more risk than others. That's all. And when you take a veteran, you're hoping for less risk. But we see the list I just gave you, 7 of the 11 free agents change teams in 2 years, says that even when you take that guy that you think you know what you're getting, you don't know what you're getting, because if you did, you would have got rid of him after 2 years.
I get it. You one of them people like that. I say, man, it's kind of cold out here. You say, man, it's freezing too. That what we talking about? That's guy. No. That what you doing?
It sounds like you're trying to make me Clarence E. Hill Jr.
No, I'm not. Clarence argue with his damn self. He don't argue with me.
No, I try to argue with other people.
Yeah, I don't.
And I don't even argue. I just had conversations with other
people. Yeah, I'm just saying he argued with himself.
But the issue is the running back market change. There's a lot of running backs out there. They all change teams. It'll be interesting to see how they move. They all got about $8 million, which I think is more than most of us thought. And Saquon comes in with the big check at just about the 12 a year, 11 a year, which is you know, which is what he wanted from the Giants to stay, that they refused to give him. You know, I think Saquon's a good runner. I think the question we had with Saquon was always, what, can he stay healthy? And nobody will know until the season starts. But that's always Saquon's question is, what's his health like? Because when he's healthy, he's a good running back. He just ain't never been healthy.
Yeah, I think he like a low-key McCaffrey. He can catch the ball. He can't route you up like McCaffrey, but he can catch the ball. He can run. He explosive. But that health, yeah. I just hate he went to Philly because I wish the best of luck to him, because I had a cousin play ball with him at Penn State. And he a good dude, but damn, he had to go to Philly, huh?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah, so that's the running back market. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays off. You know, as it relates to the Cowboys, and people are like, oh, the Cowboys losing all these guys. They're not losing a single person that most of the fan base, number one, didn't expect them to lose, and number two, wasn't like, who cares about that guy? Like, I don't remember anybody stomping for Tyler Biadasz. Oh, we got to resign Tyler Biadasz. He's the best guy out there. We got to resign him. And so, you know, if he wasn't tripping when he was here, and he was a solid NFL player, he'll probably play 10 years in the league. but he's like Connor Williams and Connor McGovern. They're good players. They're really good draft picks, but they're not the guys the teams typically resign because somebody out there need them more than you, and they give them money, and you look at the money that they're getting, you like, dog, he ain't worth all of that. Well, he feels a need for us. He's an upgrade for us, so he's worth that. Tony Pollard. Most of y'all wasn't clamoring for Tony Pollard to come back. Most of y'all weren't clamoring for Tony Pollard to come back. So now that he's gone, you can't sit around and cry like, oh, my God, what are we going to do because Tony Pollard is gone? And I'm not referring to Joe. So that's all. You know, what's the pass rusher's name? Who came from Atlanta, the number 6 pick in the draft?
Who came from Atlanta?
To Dallas, and now he just signed with Washington.
Oh.
I'm having an old man moment.
I know you're talking. You're talking about number 56.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever number 56
what happens is, you when you don't remember, you zap my memory, and it's like,
oh,
is it Fowler? Fowler.
Yeah, Dante Fowler.
There you go. See, so, I got you.
See, I just need a little bit of help. So here's what I'm saying. Well, nobody even thought about Dante Fowler. So now that he's signed with Washington on a one-year deal, don't be like, oh, my God, Dante Fowler's gone.
Well,
Biadasz is gone. What are we going to do?
Dante is extra, and I'll never hear it that decibel again. But Dante was extra because he was in that rotation. So right. You just plug him in with Sam Williams in 92.
Hey, and check this out, y'all.
All them other cats. So
what is Dan Quinn going to do, bro? He going to build that same defense that fly to the ball, that front runs, that's undersized in Washington. And if they can ever figure out a quarterback and some offense to grab a lead, it's going to be lethal. And when it ain't, you're going to run the ball up they behind.
Yep.
Same thing that happened here. So don't get all caught up. Like, I may have told y'all this several weeks ago. I knew Dorrance Armstrong was going to get a nice deal. And I also knew he was going to be probably too expensive for Dallas to sign. Because he's a really productive player. He's the player I say this about. He's the kind of player you find on every championship team. Don't get a lot of attention. Just play ball. Tony Tolbert comes to mind.
Yep.
Like, nobody really think about Tony Tolbert until he go get a sack and make a big play. Or he just makes some tackles. But ask anybody in the locker room, oh, no, that dude good, man. He ball out. Other people are just stars or higher profiles. And that's not to say Dorrance Armstrong will be a star in Washington. He won't. He'll be a really good player you can count on to make some plays. And that's what he did in Dallas. And he's going to be missed. He's a terrific fourth-round pick out of Kansas. He's exactly what you want.
Damn.
A guy who found a role on special teams for a couple years. Then you spot played him. And then he just got better and better and better every year. And if you sleep on him, he'll bust your ass. Now, if you take care of him, you took care of him. But if you sleep on him because you're worried about Micah, you're worried about this, or you're worried about that, he will bust your ass. Look at the stats, and he did that. That being said, you know, the Cowboys, they didn't lose anybody, I think, that they didn't expect to lose, and anybody who wasn't out of their price range for what they want to do. You know, and now we'll see what they do because they usually go shopping on day 2 or day 3. You know, they go get RoboCop out the dollar bin or something like that. They're not finna get no new Blu-ray movie, and they damn sure ain't got no streaming service. They're going to find a DVR. You know, because that's how they shop. That's how they shop for years. Now let's talk about something fun, man, because that was a little sad for me.
Yeah, the Dorrance Armstrong. I didn't know he was gone, man. Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he took his ass to Washington.
He just broke the news to me just like that, man. That's horrible, man.
I'm sorry, man. I thought you knew that. Let me see how much money he got. Because when I tell you the money he got, you're going to be like, damn, okay. You know, I gotta find it right quick. I think I spelled his name right. He got a weird, strange spelling on his name.
Man, my man.
Dorrance Armstrong. Okay. And I like Dorrance. I actually have been talking to him quite a bit since he was a rookie. He just had something about his personality I liked and we clicked. He got $30
million. Oh.
You got to understand, as a fourth-round pick, he ain't never been paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he got a nice little deal a couple years ago from the Cowboys. 2 years, $12 million. But I think he got 3 years and $30 million.
Nah, we wasn't gonna pay him that.
No, that's $10 million a year. And what I like about it, for real, man, is that Doris Armstrong is a guy who, because he's a fourth round pick, you know, obviously by regular everyday man standards, he's rich. But he ain't never been paid. And that 2 years, $12 million, that was nice money. But 3 years, $30 million. For a guy like Dorrance, okay, that's changing life. You good money. Because you can take that, invest it pretty well,
yep,
and you straight.
That's what they paid me. That's what they paid me to drive the truck. It changed my life.
I was going to say, is that what they paid you with the Arlington Broncos?
Nah, they paid me. They paid me to drive that truck. I ain't made no money playing semi-pro ball.
It was the love of the game.
It was knock the shit out of somebody and don't go to jail for it. That's what that was right there.
Legislated violence.
That's right.
Okay, I can get that. Let's go to the wire, man, and let's Let's go to the block.
To the block.
We're gonna talk about the wire.
Yeah. Let's go to the block.
And the block today, on this Wednesday, is sponsored by Smokey John's Barbecue. Ty Dotcher got the day off. So Smokey John's Barbecue is sponsoring the block today. 1820 West Mockingbird. Y'all know the deal. It's the Jam Session Bowl. Home of the Jam Session Bowl. And the Jam Session Bowl is a delicious bowl with either a mac and cheese base, which Joe went for, or the mashed potato base, which I typically get. 2 out of 5 smoked meats. I usually rock with the brisket and the sausage. Joe likes the double brisket, but I believe he went with the brisket and the sausage when he tried it. And then all that stuff they put on a loaded baked potato, you know, chives and bacon bits and sour cream and cheese, all that stuff, butter, they put all that stuff on top of it. Then you can either drizzle it with sauce or you can drench it with sauce. Either way, what is it, dog? It's delicious. Some people say it's love in your mouth. Either way, it's to live for. That Jam Session Bowl changed life now. Real talk. I ain't never had somebody get the Jam Session Bowl and be like, dog, that was overrated. It was all hype. It wasn't no good. Nah, you can't be a foodie and say that. It is really love in your mouth. It's delicious. See, Jess is over here laughing. She likes that, though. Jess is doing our content today.
Oh, she don't like that.
So, that's the Jam Session Bowl. If you need Smokey John's in your life sooner than that, man, you can go to the website, SmokeyJohns.com. You can click on the marketplace, and you can order the rub right here, or the sauce, and have it to your house in a couple days. If you need it more immediate than that, some people do. You can get the rub at HEB's all over the DFW. And Texas. Okay, it's on the shelves, baby. You can walk in Burleson and Waxahachie and Frisco and McKinney, go to HEB. It is on the shelves right there for you to pick up, sprinkle on your popcorn, your beef, your meats, whatever. Smokey John's rub right here. Goes with everything. Real talk. I really use it on popcorn more than anything else. Don't judge me. It's good. Try it. Then send me a text and thank me later. But that's who's bringing us the block this week.
I think the biggest test of good barbecue is eating it without no sauce.
This is true.
When I had the Jam Session Bowl with the macaroni, you was like, hey, man, you going to put your sauce? I said, hold up. I got this. Man, It was tight. It was really good. Yeah.
It was
stop.
Gonna say it, man.
All right, then.
Once for the people, man. Once for the people. It's love in your mouth.
That's what he's saying.
That's the Jam Session.
Pause. big pause right there. But go ahead.
Dude, I wish I could imitate you. I would come in. It's love in your mouth.
Nah, dog. No words.
That's
ever.
The Jam Session Bowl right there.
Recon would never say damn words right there.
Okay, man. Let's go to the wire.
Please.
We were talking about the wire last week and we ran out of time. And so I want to make sure we had time to talk about today. Because the 16th anniversary of The Wire going off the air, HBO, was last week. I just watched the entire series probably about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. I'm working on a project, a book project. I'll tell y'all about it later. But it's a huge project. I mean, you think the primetime book was big? This book topic is just, this is probably bigger. Real talk. It's probably bigger. One day soon, I'll share it with y'all. Can't share it with you just yet. But when I'm doing my research for the project, I like to have something on my iPad to just, because the research I'm doing doesn't require my whole mind. Because I'm going through newspapers and other media just looking for certain words and phrases and stuff. So anyway, I had The Wire on. And so I watched it. And when I heard that it ended last week, 16 years ago, it got me to thinking. And we're going to talk first. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to talk about our three favorite characters. I'll give you mine, number three, and then Joe will give his number three and so on. Excuse me. And then Joe was so excited about the project, he came up with some bonus ones. He got his three favorite kids, his three favorite criminals, and his three favorite cops. Now, that was too much work for me. So we're going to let him lead that part. But starting now, my number three favorite character. And this was hard to come up with. Because one and two was easy for me. And I had no problem with one and two. But number three, and I don't know that this character cracks your top five or six, dog. But there was something about it that I liked. That character is Marlo. And the reason Marlo was my third favorite character is he seemed to convey quite a bit without ever saying very much. And it turned out that he was kind of insecure. And if somebody had ever stepped to him, they might have whooped his ass. Because at the end, he all mad because somebody put his name out in the streets and he didn't know about it. They're like, really, dog? But when you think about it, that's all he had. He didn't have nothing else. All he had was his name. And when somebody sullied his name.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
He beat up three guys at the end. You don't remember when he walked out there in the suit? At the very end, he beat up three guys and they shot at him.
Was him real guy?
If it's three people.
I don't remember that now.
Yeah, if he whooping three
people. I remember him shouting. This must have happened after he shot. Now, I will tell y'all this. The problem with multitasking and doing work is why the show is on is what? Yeah. I don't grasp everything in the show.
Yeah, just that.
Okay, then fine. So Marlo is my number three. Who's your number three?
I would have to say it's so many. Probably McNulty. Because he drove the show. He was always in
it. He did drive the show.
He drove. It was an entourage, but he was at the front. He drove the show, whether it was good, bad, or ugly, whether he got demoted, promoted, right, or whatever. He drove everybody around him, and he was connected to each and everybody in some kind of way.
I can't deny that. I can't deny that. But, you know, I think I just felt more of a camaraderie with the criminals. I can't say that. Maybe it says something about me that I got down with the criminals and not the police officers. But no, I can't argue with McNulty. I mean, hell, the show starts with him and it's all about him. I think you're right on that. My number two is the deceitful Stringer Bell, one of the worst people ever out there. Just, and one so bad to be impressive and I can't come up with enough bad things to say about Stringer Bell. I fell in love with the show when he got shot because I kept thinking, how's he going to get out of this? And the answer was, he wasn't. And I was like, oh, snap, they killed Stringer.
Yeah.
I said, they killed Stringer, they'll kill anybody.
That's the HBO way, you know, bro. That's the HBO way.
I was no good after that.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah. That's why I fell in love with The Wire. It was all good when they were killing other people.
Well, that's Ed Stark. Like,
but when they killed Stringer.
Well, that's Ed Stark in Game of Thrones. And then that's Jimmy in Boardwalk Empire.
Ed Stark or John Stark?
No, Eddard Stark.
Was it Ed and John?
Eddard Stark was
he was the one with his head on the spike?
Yeah, that's Ed Stark. Yeah.
Okay.
His name was Eddard Stark.
That's what they do, man.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. I mean, I could probably give you my list of 10 favorite characters, but, you know, the whole show would be about 10.
Yes, indeed.
So instead, we're going to keep it to 3. Who's your number 2?
Number 2 is Lester Freeman, another cop.
Now, see, that's interesting. It's interesting that I'm all down with the criminals and you down with the cops. I wonder what that says. And Lester Freeman, I thought he was an underrated character. Why did you like him?
Because he was smart. And like you said, he was underrated. He had got, all of them at one point got screwed over by their jobs for doing their job.
Right.
So how many people can relate to that? I'm doing my job and somebody higher up decides because I didn't follow along with the rules or give somebody a special privilege, now you want to come slam dunk my career and stick me somewhere where I'm not valuable. And so they all pull that unit together because they was unwanted. Like, the unit was raggedy as hell, but supposed to be. But they pulled together and kicked people's ass. So, yeah, Lester, and Lester was smart. Lester was resilient. Lester had hobbies, and Lester had a fine-ass girlfriend. Okay? Lester was supposed to be working with old girl, but he ended up pulling with old girl, and she was like, I like this old man, so it's all good. So, yeah, he was cool like that. Just a great actor, too. No, and the whole cast was great, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I like Stringer Bell. You know, he was trying to be sophisticated, but he was still this thug criminal, even though he was trying to act like he was this big-time businessman, and I'm not like all the other drug dealers. And,
yeah.
You know, but when he started messing with D'Angelo girl while D'Angelo was in jail, I'm like, dog.
And he had D'Angelo killed. Yeah.
Right.
And then he lied to,
like, who? D'Angelo?
He lied to D about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, just a worthless person, man.
Yeah.
And then obviously for me, my number one favorite character is Omar.
Uh-huh.
The farm in the Dell whistling.
Yeah.
The whole I got a code. I only rob from drug dealers. How he gets popped by the little boy at the end, cause while he ready for everybody, he got caught slipping because he forgot that everybody could get you. Everybody can be touched. And he got touched by a little boy. And I thought one of the most profound moments in the whole show was when Omar gets killed. And to us, Omar's this bigger-than-life character because he's been terrorizing the hood for years or however long it's been. And then he just end up as a little blurb in the newspaper. Single black man died, you know, in the hood last night, found dead or whatever. And that just goes to show you how, you know, at one level you could be the guy. At another level, you're a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the way he played the gay part. And I just read something literally in the last couple of weeks that said he thought that the character should have been even more, had more romantic more romantic parts as with his gay partners because
you mean scenes,
that showed
like he had more scenes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because that showed the sensitivity and the dichotomy of the character. I can be so ruthless at this level, and I can be so tender with my partner on this level. The fact that he was just gay. I mean, the fact that my partner is gay doesn't really take away from the fact that I'm tender. It just kind of enhances the fact because it's a gay relationship.
Right.
See, we went deep on that one. But yeah. So that leads us to your number one favorite character, bro.
Man.
I know it's hard. Make a choice.
No, it's not hard. It's probably Omar. Just because he was, like I said, he was
I didn't know that.
Well, he was all that. Omar was that was your guy. That was the guy in the show. I mean, if McNulty is on one end, Omar is on the other end. And the fact that they killed
him. Omar got a code.
Well, yeah. Omar got all that. He got a code. Omar got the way the actor played him, and then the believability of the actor, and when they killed Brandon, they killed his partner.
Yeah,
the way he was tore up about it, I don't think he needed no more scenes to make us understand how he felt. That what's my man name, Michael Williamson. Michael K. Williams.
Yeah,
brilliant. Just to watch him, just the way when he found Brandon, when McNulty snuck him into the hospital to see him,
right,
and then way he was tore up, it kind of choked me up a little bit now. Just the way he portrayed that and the way he was tore up about it, it just showed the range, you know. And then he had
that. That's what it's all about, the range.
Yeah, he had that Baltimore accent down pat.
Right.
Because he doesn't speak like that. And when you see him in Boardwalk Empire, you realize how good he was in The Wire. So with the actor, his portrayal of the character, he's number one character. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
All right. So my top three characters on The Wire who did I say, Doc?
You said
Marlo.
Marlo, I like Marlo.
Stringer Bell, and Omar. Joe's top three characters were McNulty, Lester Freeman, and Omar. And we didn't talk about this before, so I was really surprised Omar was your guy, was your number one character. Yeah. Now, let's open it up. So your three favorite criminals are who?
Marlo, Avon, and Omar. The humanity, Marlo had no humanity. He didn't give a shit.
None
about
whatsoever.
And he was nobody. He was really tough, and he was ruthless. And he had no humanity, and so I don't. That's what made him my favorite character, because I wanted to see Marlo get done in, but he didn't. Yeah, I was like, somebody, please do him. But
somebody take him out.
Yeah, he did not. And the humanity that Avon had. I like when they write characters like that, because you're not supposed to identify or think that's a good dude, because he's a damn drug dealer and he done committed his own dirt. But his humanity toward people, you know, was different. You know what I'm saying? His loyalty to family, his humanity, his loyalty to the family almost got him, but he was loyal to his uncle who was in the hospital, to his nephew, his sister. He had to do what he had to do to take care of his family, so, Then when he let Cuddy go, and my man said...
That was deep there.
He was, you know, Slim Charles said, man, he was a man back in his day, and he said, he a man today. He just, you know, because the dude didn't want to be part of the game no more, and most times you get either beat up or chastised or, you know, something, but he said, man, go ahead. And then he gave him $10,000 for his gym. Remember that?
Is that all you need, man? Man, go get that man 10,000.
You saying all that to get 10? That's all you need? Man, get that man 10. We're laughing about that shit. You don't have to put a poster of me or nothing. Don't put nothing up. I don't want my name to do with it. Just take the money, do what you're going to do, man. And just that type of, you know, that type of stuff. So, and the humanity in Omar. And what you probably didn't look at was they had some... prequels you can see on YouTube where it showed Omar as a little dude, and he was a kid. Him and his brother was No Heart Anthony, and
were these on HBO at one point?
The prequels were. Well, him and Omar and this other guy robbed a bus, a guy sitting on a park bench, on a bus bench. And he said, man, can I just keep my wallet? Omar said, yeah, go on, keep that. Give me all the money. They get around the corner, and Omar said, man, let's give him his money back. Because it don't feel fair to rob that dude. And so they gave him his money back. And the other dude said, hey, Anthony, I don't think your brother cut out to do this. You know, little did he know, that's kind of where he developed his code. And that was a prequel. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it was shown on HBO some kind of way, maybe. But it's pretty good.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the development of the characters. But you got the three.
Right, that's your three favorite.
Yeah, the three cops. The three cops.
Yeah.
Kima. Sonya Song. Great actress.
Right.
Great actress. And that was like. She had done some other thing. I think she played the bartender in Shaft and the remake of Shaft.
She did.
Yeah, she was good at that. And she was just a minor character. But, man, That was a lesbian relationship she was in, and they showed the sensitivity with them. So it's kind of a double standard, and
right.
in that. But she was good in that role because I don't know if you remember the courtyard scene where they knocked over the old cop and Kima ran across the damn courtyard, and you thought she gonna put she gonna pull that guy off the cop and she gonna help her friend up. No, she start beating the shit out the dude. She ran all the way across. Yeah. I thought she was going to go break it up. No, she started whooping ass.
No.
And then when they had Bird in the question room and Bird was calling her all them names and stuff, and Daniels walked in there and tore up the picture they took to make him, you know, show him how he looked before they got interrogated. And then they whooped his ass. And he said, "You better go in there and save him." You know what, McNulty? You think, McNulty said, "You think Bird going to hurt him?" No. You need to save him from her, because she was in there whooping his ass. So, yeah, she was one of my favorite characters. She plays on Will Trent right now. And I don't know if you watched
that. Yeah, I tried to watch that show. I don't like it.
That's pretty damn
like well. I tried to watch it.
You don't like good stuff, so it's all good. And so I don't know. Really? I don't know what to tell you about that. That's an excellent show, especially for TV, regular TV. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So you got Kima.
You got Melty, Kima.
And Lester. I got to put Lester in there. Or Bunny Coven. Bunny Coven. You know who Bunny Coven is?
I mean, I'm down with Bunny.
I
was probably down with, what you call it more? Bunk.
Bunk, yeah. Well, if you're down with McNulty, Bunk and McNulty go together. The whole episode where they say shit.
That's one of the great scenes.
Yes. I think it was 54 times they said them words or something. But it was pretty good. Right. But yeah, them guys kind of paired up. So you got the three criminals. Did we do three criminals? Did three criminals, three cops? Did we do the three criminals? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did the three criminals.
Okay, so that's the three cops, three kids. Michael.
Yeah, you said kids.
Michael.
Yeah.
Because he was a dog. You know, he turned into the new Omar.
Turned him into a killer.
It turned him into the new Omar. But remember, he started robbing drug dealers at the end. And then Naaman, how he was a degenerate fool, and then Bunny saved him. And you know, he was just a kid. Yep. He was typical of a lot of kids, is that they are really smart in the environment. They are really smart kids and really clever kids and have show real intelligence, but the environment that they in, they get ridiculed for that. You know, where, you know, sometimes in our community, which happened to me a little bit, where as soon as you show any type of intelligence or you want to, you know, you might be pretty smart in something. Some people, not everybody, but some people, you think you smart. You think you smarter than me. Well, you don't have no street knowledge. Well.
Right.
God bless Wanda K, which is my mama, that street knowledge didn't make. She whooped my ass enough to know, let me know that street knowledge ain't going to help me. So I wasn't accountable to them. That's what I thank God for my mom. I was accountable to her. You understand? So that saved you from that environment. And Naaman, who was Weebo's son, was Naaman's mama wasn't worth a damn, but his daddy was a gangster.
She was worth less than that.
Yeah. Well, his daddy was gangster, but Bunny talked to him, and those two guys, this is what made it such a great show. The gangster and the policeman had common ground. And he pulled that boy up out of that shit, you know, and he was talented. And the third kid was Kennard. Kennard is the kid that shot Omar.
I was going to say, who is Kennard?
Kennard is the kid.
I saw Kennard he was in an earlier scene.
He was in a scene where he was hiding Naaman's dope. And Michael made Naaman go over there and say, "Nah, man, ain't nobody robbed him. He hiding the dope." So they followed Kennard.
Right.
And they whooped Kennard's little ass for hiding the dope. Michael did. Naaman was never cut out for that game. He was never cut out for that. So, you know, that's what made it a good arc. Oh, and honorable mention is the little boy who kept jacking all them damn cars. Boy couldn't even Boy could barely touch the pedals, barely see over the damn steering wheel. And I don't know if you remember the scene where he, and one of the ending scenes where Naaman was in a neighborhood sitting out on one of them stoops at Coben's house. Right. And, you know, okay. And all of a sudden, your boy drive by in the SUV bumping that damn thing, the little dude. And I was like, yeah. Naaman kind of gave him a nod like, yep, you go ahead on. That's cool. But you go ahead on with that shit. But
that's why the wire is fantastic, because we just spent 20 minutes talking about the Wire. We ain't talked about Brody. We ain't talked about Prop Joe. We ain't talked about Cheese. You know, and any number. You know, we ain't talked about Wallace. We ain't talked about really D'Angelo.
They had a Prop
we
Joe.
Talk about all these cats.
They had a Prop Joe prequel too, where he was bribing the teacher.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Surprise me.
Yeah, but
The Wire.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know. Did you read the book on the Wire?
No.
That Jonathan Abrams wrote?
No, I didn't read it.
It's fantastic. It's an oral history on the Wire. It's one of the first audiobooks I got, but it's probably worth me reading again, because now that I've seen it a couple times, it'll probably make even more sense to me about the characters and how they put it together. And it's fantastic because he talked to everybody.
We didn't talk about we didn't bring up Bubbles.
Dog.
That was just another great character. You know, it's just man, it's good. And what's my man name? Carver and Herc. See,
you could do
a whole nother deal on the pairs in the Wire, the people that work together in the Wire. And you go,
it was really Bubbles and Kima was together.
Bubbles
really.
And Kima, Herc and Carver, Bunk and McNulty.
McNulty.
Yeah. And then what's my man? He died. He's a black actor. And he was Carcetti's right-hand man. You know what I'm talking about? The guy ended up being the mayor. He was the black dude that was right-hand man.
I know who you're talking about, but
I can't remember his name. But he was.
We ain't talked about shit.
Yeah, shit. I want you to give him a post so far out that the Philadelphia cops can see his ass coming. Y'all think y'all messing with me? Y'all ain't seen nothing. Man, that dude had a lot of good scenes in there. And he's been a character actor on a lot of stuff. I saw he played...
he was on The Judge.
He was on The Judge. Cranston. He was on Atlanta. The series Atlanta. That's a good series. I don't know.
Atlanta is the capital and most populous city in the U.S. state of Georgia. It is the seat of Fulton County, and a portion of the city extends into neighboring DeKalb County. Shall I continue?
No.
I thought it was good. You should check that out.
Yeah.
But, so that's our conversation on The Wire. Fascinating, riveting, and that's why we pushed it back a day. I don't want to have to rush through it. And there was no need to rush through it. Take your time, savor it like an aged stout or a good whiskey or a lovemaking session. Depends on how you think of things.
Oh, have mercy. Really, dog.
I knew that was going to get him. I almost was thinking to myself, 3, 2, 1.
It didn't get me. You got company.
Right on one.
Well, I ain't good.
Hey, remember, you can always find a book, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders and the Making of Men. You can find that wherever you find your books. It's my time that I spent the 2022 season at Jackson State with Deion. You want to know why he's kicking butt, taking names in Colorado? This book will tell you. We always appreciate Greening Law. Can't do the podcast without them. Smokey John's Barbecue. That food that is what, Joe?
Love in your mouth.
It is to live for. Go get you some over there at 1820 West Mockingbird. Until we talk again, remember, hey, go to the YouTube channel, The Real Jacques Talk. Subscribe, link, leave us a review, and leave us a comment. We appreciate it. Till we chat again, you guys be blessed.